You'll come back and be with us as soon as you can. Where's Boone? Is he over there this morning? All right. We want to sing God is so good. I'm going to need a little help this morning. Would you send him up here for me if he feels like it? No, he doesn't want to come. Okay. All right, that's good. Well, we'll do. Everybody stand up. Let's sing God is so good. But we'll get you later, okay? Very good. Here we go.
God is so good. God is everybody. So good. God.
Everybody. Appreciate you being here. Ann is still sick. I want to thank everybody for all the good things you've done for us. We hadn't put a note, but we will do that later. I just want you to know how much I appreciate everything she did and was able to get up a little bit this morning and didn't have as much pain last night. So grateful. Many of you will know and remember I've spoken about Forrest Summers. It's one of the elders over at Weatherly where I used to preach. His mother died yesterday. And we want you to remember to pray for that family too. So good to be with you today. So good that we can study the Word of the Lord. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now, next Sunday morning, that man right there, James Loon wanted to preach. The elders given him that opportunity, and we'll be able to hear what he wants to tell us from the Word of the Lord. Today, I want to start a series of lessons, and we'll get to it as we can. I want to talk about building up the church. I'm concerned about the church, about the building up of the church. And I had Troy to read this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, 13, and 14. Those two verses are on the tombs rock of Betty and Charlie Christopher. You remember Charlie, how he used to love those verses? And they're just so important because let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I want to know what the duty of man is. I want to know and I want to teach. What God said to the wise man, fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment. I want to be reminded of that. I know it's true. God's going to do it. 2 Corinthians 5:10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. No wonder these two verses are so important in the Bible discussion of God's Word. And notice what the Bible says. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I know He's going to do that. And we want everybody to know that. God wants everybody to know that. Over in the book of Nehemiah was charged to go and build the wall. God wanted it to be built. In Nehemiah chapter 2, the scripture says, and they said, let us rise up and build. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, all right, you have spoken, you know what God has told you, so now let's do it. Let us build up and let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for their good work. Nehemiah 2. Very first thing we need to learn is before we do anything, we ask God. We want His guidance. We want to know what His will is. Not mine. Not the elders. It's the will of God. You remember Jesus said in Matthew 7, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. I want to know what the will of God is. For Matthew 7, 21 tells me that everything that I've got to do is to be done by the authority of Jesus Christ. Now, Nehemiah had his instructions. Nehemiah knew something that every Bible student knows. And that is, before we build, we've got to listen to God. Notice, if you will, over in the book of Psalms 127, there the Bible says, except a man do what? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Why spend time? Why engage in effort if it's useless? You remember what Jesus said in Matthew 15 and verse 9. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You mean, Father, we need your guidance? Absolutely. We need this book, and we need to turn to it, and we need to listen to God. The very first thing we need to understand, just like Nehemiah did, Nehemiah understood that, and he turned to God. As I was planning the lesson, I thought of the various ones that had been successful, that had built according to God's Word. For example, Nehemiah, he had all kinds of obstacles. There were people that were making fun of him. But if you take the first six chapters of the book of Nehemiah, you find they were successful. Why? Because they built the wall according to God. Now, my friend, I want us to be successful, though, Neil. I want this church to be the church that God is pleased with. I want these elders, I want us preachers, all deacons, every saint of God in this congregation to be consecrated to God, united together with the purpose of doing what you're doing for God, serving God, putting God first in our lives. Yes, Noah was successful. And you cannot, when you read the Word of God, misunderstand how important that was. Why, when we turn to the book of Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22, we find that the Bible says, thus did Noah. Stop. Think. Why was Noah accepted? Why did he build the ark? Why did he make it 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high? You know why? He listened to God. He paid attention to God. That's what God told him to do. Look what's said about Noah. In Genesis 6, verse 22, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. I want to be like that. I want to be a man that whenever God speaks through His Word, that I believe Him, that I speak His Word, and get people to understand that there's only one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. John 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. But I can go back in the Bible and I can find how that some people did build, but what they built was to no avail. When you turn in the book of God in Genesis chapter 11, you read where the Bible says the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there. Look what happens. And they said one to another. Who did they speak to? To each other. What was their plan? To build something for themselves. Had God told them? No. Had they asked God? No. And they said one to another, go to. Let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us. What was their purpose? Build it for us. What's the purpose of the church at O'Neill? Build it for us? No. It's to be built to please God. Look what these people did. Come. They said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name. Far be it from any person who is a child of God, who is a Christian, who will not work in the kingdom of God unless it's the work they want to be done. God is to be heard. We're to listen to God. These people didn't. They said they wanted something that would reach into heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men built it. How ridiculous. They didn't pay a bit of attention to God. They didn't ask God. They were building it for themselves. And notice what the Bible says. The Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, God said, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Boy, right there, in one stroke, brought the sensation, stop, of the building. Why? Because they couldn't understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. It's over. It's not going to be completed. Why? It wasn't from God. What do we learn? Anything we do must be done by our listening to God. And the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. When we build at O'Neill, it should be what God wants. It's not for us, not for our glory. It's to be exactly what we have learned from God that He wants us to do in 2018 and 2019. If we resist God's way, we will lose. It will not be successful. If we abide in His will, always asking His blessings upon us in our efforts, we will win. Why? We'll be on God's side. We will always be saying, we will arise and we will build for God. We're going to listen to God. And we're only going to do what God tells us to do in His Word. Remember in Matthew 7, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils? In thy name done many mighty works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Lawlessness. Not doing what God wants, but doing what we want. May the challenge be to all of us, let us build. Jesus promised to build the church, and He did. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, upon this rock I will build my church. In Acts 20 and verse 28, take heed unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of the Lord, which He hath purchased with His own blood. That's what it took to bring the church into existence. And there is one thing that God had in His mind, that He wanted, and brethren, He still wants it today. Listen, Colossians 1, 26 and 27, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Unite it all together. Where? In the body of Jesus Christ. Yes, we need to arise and build once we get and listen to God in our building. The name on the sign out front. You may put the name Church of Christ. That's a good name. It's a Bible name. And surely, we want everybody to know the church belongs to Christ. We're not ashamed to read Romans 16:16. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. That's what they were called then, and that's what they're called today. Sometimes people say, take that, the name Church of Christ, off the building. Why? Because people sometimes are offended. Offended? Are you going to put on, this is the Church of Christ? Or, this is not a Church of Christ. We know we're listening to God. Let me tell you, my friends, old-time preachers, they used to preach how that man is not to add to, take away, be silent where God is silent, speak where God is silent, and listen. God spoke through Paul. He put it in the Bible for a reason. The churches of Christ salute you. So many people want to say things about the church which are not said by God, but the things said by God, they don't pay any attention to it anyway. What a shame. God wants the church of the Lord to be made known. We are to build it up, not tear it down. How do we do it? Paul, he spoke when there were still gifts of the Spirit. But one thing you cannot misunderstand. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I know something from that verse. Whatever we do, it's got to build up the church. God wants the church to be built up. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 12, even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. The church to be built up. How? By preaching and teaching the Word of God. Everything we should be, everything we do is to be done for the building up, edifying of the kingdom of God, the church that Jesus purchased with His own blood. I found this quotation. I thought it was good. I share it with you. Our duty is not to mold the church to our satisfaction, but to learn the design of God and follow His blueprint to the very best of our ability. That's what we've got to do. We are always and must always say, Lord, speak, thy servant heareth. All right? Notice, if you will, in Ephesians 4, 11 to 12, when it comes down to what God says, He gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? Here it is. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying or the building up of the church of the body of Jesus Christ. He put in what He wants done. By whom? Let's analyze it. Some apostles. The time was, at one time, the church needed those apostles. Those apostles lasted until the church was able to be functioning without them. It was just for a while, and then no longer needed. Some prophets, spiritual prophets, yes, 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14 talks about it during the early church. But those things would soon cease. Why? It wouldn't be needed. Some pastors, they're still needed. Preachers, yes, not past, but pastors, shepherds, elders, overseeing the flock of God. And then evangelists, boy, don't we need more of them. Thank God for O'Neill, these young men, for the last 10 years or so, have been given opportunity after opportunity to get up and share with us how they have grown, how they have preached. Brother James now wants to preach a lesson that he has studied on. Where has he been attending? at O'Neill. Why? Because He loves this church. He loves you. And He wants to share with you what He's learned. Thank God for elders that will allow men to stand up. And these young men, I mean to tell you, when you listen to them, I know there's some that are better than others. It's like when you listen to me, you know there are a lot better preachers than I am. Sure there are. But we thank God for everyone. All we want to do is what? Just have the Word of God preached. And that's needed. And we need teachers today. And God said He put people in the church. And these are people for what purpose? To accomplish something. What does He want done by the church? Well, He tells you, listen to Him. After some were called apostles and prophets and some evangelists, pastors and teachers, the work then is given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the church. And this is God's law. This is what God wants. He wants the saints to be built up, prepared, ready to serve, edified, preparing the saints to do the will of the Lord. How do you do it? By teaching, teaching, teaching God's precious truth. I know how important it is for somebody that loves the Bible. And if you're sick, and if they walk into your place, and they talk to you about the Bible, and they have prayer with you, how edifying it is. I know there are many times that some of our elders, and old Jeff, when he couldn't be at a certain place maybe for someone's surgery or so, he'll talk to one of the ones that is hopefully having surgery, or one of the family anyway, and prays for them. This morning I remember the call that I got Friday from Sandra. And what did she say? She said, Vicki wants me to call you and ask you to pray especially for her. I did. This morning Matt and I were talking. And I said, Matt, let's just you and I pray right now on the phone for Vicki. What do we need? The church to be strong. The church to be preparing the saints for the service that God wants them to engage in. That, my friend, in our Bible classes, where our elders have men and those who are teaching our classes qualified to imbibe and teach the Word of the Lord, because in Acts 20, verse 32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up. Boy, that's the thing that will build you up. When you're sick, what will build you up? To remind you that God loves you and cares for you and wants the very best for you. What's the church's work? Number one, perfecting the saints. Preparing the saints for service unto God. And listen to God. In the second place, the work of the ministry of benevolence. Those who are needy saints. And we're going to expand on all three of these things in our next lesson. But who is it the church is responsible for? Let's ask God. Somebody says the church from its treasure can just help everybody. Let's just ask God. What does God say? If you'll take your Bible carefully, you will find that contributions were made to the saints that were in need. Who are saints? Children of God. What's the church to do? Be busy in what? In the work of the ministry. Providing what? Providing for those saints that are children of God. That doesn't mean God doesn't want us to help people out in the world. As individual Christians. Paul tells us clearly in Galatians 6, verse 10, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are the household of faith. But from the church's treasury, what does God say? Somebody says it doesn't make any difference. Wait. If it doesn't make any difference, friends, then you can just do what you want to do in anything. Yes, the work of benevolence for the saints, the church is to do that work. And then number three, for the edifying, building up of the church, evangelism. How many people do we support? I could probably ask the elders, they could, each one of them, tell them, look in your bulletin. How much money is expended here to help support those that are preaching the gospel at every place, at other places, brethren, and to preach the gospel here? Somebody says, but they get too much money. Wait a minute. I want to answer that right here. I want you to tell me how much one soul is worth. You tell me. How much is one soul worth? My Lord said, what is it profit of man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That's how much it's worth. Sure, there are some that are more effective than others. But let me tell you, Paul robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do them service. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 8. Let us support the men who are willing to preach the word, and be grateful that we have people who will preach and teach the word of God, proclaiming the glorious gospel. You remember in 2 Timothy chapter 4? Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I was several months ago in a meeting, and right before that, I'd met a lady, and she used to attend where I preached over at Southern Boulevard. You know, I've been preaching now, what, almost 60 years. Let me tell you, I never regret a single day of it. I know I haven't been so accomplished. I know as you get older, you're not as good maybe. But I have you. I want you to know that what that woman told me meant a lot to me. She said, Brother Guy, she said, I want you to know something. She said, I used to sit at your feet and listen to you preach. And she said, I thank God and thank you personally for helping me to know the will of God. How much more can you have? If we can just save one soul worth more than everything that we have in the treasury, worth more than the whole city of Athens, the world. Support men that preach the gospel. Sure, some will need more than others. Remember, the work of the church involves men that God has said, go and preach, and are willing to do that. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Jesus. We don't add to that. We will not add to it. We will not take away from it. Why? Because in Revelation 22, 18, we find where God says, if any man adds unto these words, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Any man takes away from the words that's found in this book, God shall take away his part out of the... He'll be taken out of the book of life and from the holy city and from the things written in that book. Oh, that's a challenge to us. Challenge for O'Neill. Build. Oh, you need to be encouraging each other. All of us do. None of us are perfect. Sure, we make our mistakes. Sure, we do sin at times. What do we do about it? I want you to know how thankful I am that I have seen over and over men and women in this church, when they fail, come forward and get their lives right with God, and now being so wonderfully good in their service to the Lord. That's our objective. Our objective is not to build here so we can say we have a big crowd, big building, all of that. Thank God for what He gives us. But what we're doing is building for God. We will rise and we will build as God instructs us and build according to the pattern of God. And that's why in conclusion this morning, I can tell you of the wonderful, marvelous invitation that came directly from the lips of Jesus Christ. Listen very, very carefully. It's Jesus speaking. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Building the church according to the pattern. Building up the church according to what God says. May God help us. If you're in this assembly, you're not in the church. Never been baptized. He's saying, "Come, come unto me now. Won't you believe in Him? Repent of your sins. Confess His name and be baptized." And if you're a child of God and you haven't lived faithfully, let us pray with you and for you. And let's all get busy. And remember those great words of Nehemiah where the people said, "Now let us arise and let us build, building for the Son of God." If you're subject in your way to the invitation, come now and obey the Lord while together we stand and watch.